This knee-jerk is over the top even for the TSA. NASA goes forward with Discovery's launch, and Gulfstream is forced to cut production. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 9th, 2009. ANN has received a personal email report from a pilot who attended a poorly publicized meeting with representatives of the Transportation Security Administration at the Montrose, Colorado airport a few days ago. The ANN editorial staff has vetted the sender, who wishes, for reasons which will shortly be obvious, to remain anonymous. If this is what it appears to be, the TSA is set to spring another ill-conceived solution in search of a problem on general aviation, specifically a new set of rules which could make it cost-prohibitive for general aviation aircraft to use any of the nation's 420-plus commercial airports. Our source reports four TSA reps from Grand Junction faced a room of 60 local pilots to discuss a new requirement for individual security badges, a different one required at each airport, for anyone to access the tarmac. Without the badge, you'd need an escort who had one. Since TSA apparently has no plans to fund this mandate, it will fall on airport businesses or local governments to pay for the personnel needed to escort visitors around, an obvious economic non-starter for, say, a 24-hour automated credit card fuel station operator. The meeting also reportedly featured some very direct questions about the policy's effect on operations ranging from young eagles to crop dusting to firefighting. The security directive, which is proposed to take effect April 30th, is also unpublished with no information on what specifically constitutes a violation or what penalties might be. TSA reportedly had no good answers for those in attendance. You can find the lengthy and detailed report, dated Sunday, March 8th, and headlined, "Is TSA Readying an All-Out Attack on GA Access to American Airports?" at www.aero-news.net. NASA managers completed a review Friday of Space Shuttle Discovery's readiness for flight and have confirmed the previously tentative launch target of 9:20 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. The review included a formal presentation of the status of work on the shuttle's flow control valves. Detailed inspection has resulted in a green light. Discovery's STS-119 flight will deliver the International Space Station's fourth and final set of solar array wings, completing the station's truss or backbone. The arrays will provide the electricity to fully power science experiments and support the station's expanded crew of six in May. The economy is being blamed by General Dynamics for an announcement that its Gulfstream Aerospace subsidiary will be cutting production this year. The company says that due to a shrinking backlog, it, quote, has found it necessary to cut large cabin aircraft production and green aircraft deliveries from a projected rate of 94 to 73 in 2009. Gulfstream also will reduce production of its mid-sized aircraft from a projected rate of 30 to 24 aircraft this year, unquote. The company says that will require cutting a total of 1,200 workers, about 550 of them contract personnel. General Dynamics CEO Nicholas Shabraja tried to remain upbeat. Quote, despite the current challenges, we continue to believe that Gulfstream's backlog provides a solid foundation for the business in this tough market environment, unquote. The Eclipse Owners Group has announced its intentions to become a competitor in what is now officially at least a three-way bidding war for the liquidated assets of the former Eclipse Aviation. In its announcement, the group last week said competing proposals are, quote, short-sighted and place undue burdens on an already overtaxed customer base, unquote. At issue is not only the tooling and intellectual property needed to keep the current fleet in service, but all planes currently flying are missing upgrades promised at the time of purchase. Group members fear other bidders for the company's assets will see the owners as a captive market forced to pay exorbitant rates for what they need. Quote, if someone gets control of Eclipse assets with this type of business plan, they could significantly reduce the value of Eclipse 500 aircraft, unquote. All Eclipse owners are encouraged to make email contact at eclipseownersgroup@gmail.com. Up next on ANN, the pilot of a crashed P-51 replica is identified. Boeing's Wichita engineers turned down a contract deal again. And the FAA issues a revised AD for the Boeing 777. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal Tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from March 9. I'm Paul Plagg. Officials now say it was a home-built Stuart S-51, a scale replica of a P-51 Mustang, that crashed into a recreational vehicle park in downtown Ocala, Florida on Friday. The pilot and sole occupant has been identified as the owner, 80-year-old John Hambleton, who lived west of Ocala. No one on the ground was injured when the plane hit two parked fifth-wheel trailers about 3 p.m. local time. Witnesses told the Orlando Sentinel they heard the aircraft sputter and pop immediately before it crashed, first into trees surrounding the park, then into the trailers. Rhonda Hambleton talked to the Ocala Star-Banner about her late father-in-law. Quote, "He was a great man, unbelievably respected by everybody," unquote. FAA records show Hambleton was also the registered owner of two Aranca Champs and a Rotorway Exec kit helicopter. Engineers at Boeing's Wichita Integrated Defense Systems, represented by the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace, have rejected a second tentative contract agreement. According to SPIA, the margin was 68-32 against. But, perhaps driven by nightly pictures of unemployment lines on TV newscasts, the vote to actually strike the company failed, gaining only 45% of the vote. Union negotiators for the 700 represented engineers will ask the company to resume negotiations. Boeing reiterated to the Associated Press that the deal just voted down was its best and final offer, but added it will participate in additional meetings with the union. Engineers have been working under a contract extension since their last contract expired December 5th. The FAA has published a revised airworthiness directive for Boeing 777s equipped with Rolls-Royce engines. The change adds further procedures to prevent ice buildup that can clog fuel lines. It comes in response to the British investigation of a 777 accident at Heathrow in January 2008, which found ice can accumulate in tanks at the low fuel temperatures and low power fuel flows associated with long flights, especially over polar routes. Investigators also determined that when the pilot increases power, the increased fuel flow in the tank can cause the ice to break free, blocking fuel flow to the engines. Airlines have 10 days to comply. The new directive affects 56 aircraft in the U.S. fleet and a total of 228 worldwide. A Delta II rocket carrying the Kepler planet-hunting spacecraft made a spectacular and successful on-time liftoff Friday night at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. The spacecraft will spend at least 3.5 years looking for Earth-like planets in other solar systems. John Morse, the Astrophysics Division Director at NASA, commented, quote, "Kepler is a critical component in NASA's broader efforts to ultimately find and study planets where Earth-like conditions may be present," unquote. William Borucki, science principal investigator for the mission, has been working on this project for 17 years. He explained the mission. Quote, "Everything about the mission is optimized to find Earth-sized planets with the potential for life to help us answer the question, are Earths bountiful or is our planet unique?" Unquote. Still ahead, airliners are warned to avoid getting within sight of North Korea. A Florida air show cuts ticket prices. And if you're not real smart, at least learn when to shut up. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin, In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 9th. I'm Paul Plack. The decades-long political standoff between North and South Korea is heating up again, with the election of a conservative regime in the South, a subsequent cutoff of unconditional aid to the North, and now veiled threats from the North against civilian airliners which venture too close to its airspace. As a result, South Korea is urging airlines serving its country to reroute the flights. Korean Air and Asiana Airlines have rerouted about 14 daily flights to the U.S. and Russia. That adds between 15 and 40 minutes to those routes. Singapore Airlines announced similar measures on Friday, according to CNN. North Korea recently responded to U.S. intelligence reports of an imminent missile test with a denial, saying instead it plans to launch its first satellite. The roar of vintage Warbird engines will return to Florida's Space Coast this Friday through Sunday. And in consideration of the current economy, organizers of the 32nd annual Tyco Warbird Air Show at the Space Center Executive Airport in Titusville are reducing the gate admission fee. The Valiant Air Command announced last week that ticket prices are down from $23 to $20 for adults and from $18 to $15 for children. Advanced ticket prices are unchanged at $18 for adults and $13 for kids ages 4 through 12. VAC Commander Lloyd Morris commented, quote, "Even though we are a nonprofit and this is our big fundraiser of the year, we think it's important to recognize that we are all in this economy together, and we want as many folks as possible to be able to experience our air show," unquote. Joining the aircraft flight and static displays will be military reenactors, antique cars, and special guests, including veteran and Medal of Honor winner Colonel George Bud Day. Advance tickets can be had at the VAC Warbird Museum on the airport and at other outlets around the area. Gates open at 8:30 a.m. each day, and the air show starts at 1 p.m. 25-year-old Joshua Paul Calhoun suffered only minor injuries when the A-36 Bonanza he was flying made a hard landing in a field near Athens Municipal Airport in Texas last Wednesday. He was then arrested. Police told the Tyler Morning Telegraph they discovered the plane was stolen from the airport and that Calhoun had actually taken off from a taxiway after enlisting the help of an airport employee to get the plane started, claiming he had just bought it. As Calhoun flew an erratic pattern low over the field, airport workers called the plane's owner, who told them no one had permission to fly it. By the time Calhoun walked back to the airport after the crash, police had arrived. He reportedly told the officers he'd wired someone $52,000 over the internet to buy the plane, and that a friend had actually been flying it when it crashed. Police say the friend he named is a local who died about a year ago. You know, sometimes, when the hole gets deep enough, you need to just put down the shovel. Calhoun has been charged with felony theft. And finally, it may take some recalibrating to understand this, but PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, affects people following stressful situations even if nobody gets hurt. It's been more than 6 weeks since the Hudson River ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549. While being honored with the rest of the crew during the National Air Traffic Controllers Association's Communicating for Safety Conference in Las Vegas last week, First Officer Jeffrey Skiles told attendees he hopes to return to work this month sometime. Quote, "When you normally have an incident, you have post-traumatic shock symptoms, and I did myself for the first week and a half. I got over it pretty fast," unquote. Captain Chesley Sullenberger has said he expects to be ready to return to duty in a few months. Controller Patrick Harden, whose only direct contact with the drama was via his radar screen and radio, took more than a month to return to his job at the New York TRACON. Beginning tomorrow, the Aero News special feature will present a recurring theme of lessons from Flight 1549. In tomorrow's first installment, you'll hear the testimony of Captain Sullenberger before the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee. A future installment will feature the testimony of Harten, the controller. If you're having a hard time wrapping your head around how PTSD could happen to someone who wasn't even on the scene, I highly recommend taking a listen. He did a particularly good job explaining how the miracle on the Hudson affected him. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about his statement in the current edition that, quote, "the flight instruction profession is in a monumental mess," unquote. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.